that Chester asked and that these sermons answered to kind of get stimulate your thinking here. Number one, what would you like to change? Number two, why would you like to change? Number three, how are you going to change? Four, when do you struggle? Five, what truths do you need to turn to? Six, what desires do you need to turn from? Seven, what stops you from changing? Eight, what strategies will reinforce your faith and repentance? Nine, how can we support one another in changing? And 10, are you ready for a lifetime of daily change? And you know something? If you look at the next to the last sermon summary on here on the last page, where the statement was that Johnny made was, God intends the local church community to be the ideal setting for ongoing change. This is your opportunity to be used in the community to help all of us grow in Christ as you testify of what God's doing. You might have a testimony this morning of how you've applied these 10 different questions and steps, and you're seeing God change in your life. You might not have started your change project yet. It's not too late ever to start. Here's the basis for it. You can do it. You might have a testimony this morning of the struggles that you have had in the past 10 weeks. Because remember, in one of the sermons here, that God uses our struggles, God uses our trials in order to cause us to see at heart, it's our heart that needs to change. And He brings us His genuine joy through our trials, among other things. So you might just have a testimony of, man, these 10 weeks, I haven't seen much growth. I've seen lots of struggles. We know something? God's at work, if that's the case. God is at work. So if that's what you can testify about and you think it'll be edifying to all of us, then please come on up and do that. So we'll give you 30 seconds, a minute, minute and a half or so in your testimonies, and pretty much wide open whatever God's been showing you that you think would encourage the saints, very much in accordance with this next to the last sermon on August 28th that Johnny was speaking of. So I'm going to have a seat. I'm going to let you come on up. And do not hesitate to come on up.
Is that 15 seconds? Or good morning, everyone. Somebody said hi. That's fun. I was looking at August 14th where it says to keep growing and changing, we need to hate our sin and humbly take it to our merciful God instead of justifying, minimizing, or concealing. I would say one of the greatest obstacles for me to change would be, first of all, my own blindness and my own willingness to even see it. And one of the things I've been working on for a while, and it was kind of cool how it just kind of congealed with this series, was my habit of outward anger. And those of you who don't know me well, I've told that to some of my friends, and they go, what? You? Outward anger? I said, why don't you go talk to Brian and my kids? So, I had a habit of outward anger and losing my cool and sometimes flying into a rage. And it's hard to admit, in the past, occasionally throwing something. It wasn't pleasant to be around me. That's putting it pretty mildly. And this is not an excuse, but part of my journey has been looking at the habits and patterns that were in my home life, and that my parents, I love my parents, they're both deceased. They did wonderful, wonderful things, and I'd be glad to explain those too, but something that they did a lot was argue, and my father had a habit of anger. And so when I would respond to something with anger, that was just what you did. You know, something provoked. This got me, oh, it wasn't a big deal. I was provoked. Yeah, I was. So I justified it. The kids aren't cleaning the house fast enough, or I'm under stress, or you're not listening to me, or boom, get angry. And I justified it. And several years ago, in some counsel with John, the Spirit finally gripped me with no, you can't do that. And I was at a loss because I was like, well, I don't know what to do instead. But the start was at least seeing it and then repenting of it. So it was pretty tough to be that humble, but it was very, very good. So my own blindness and my own willing to justify were the number one block. So thank you.
It was on July 17th, the third week of the Change Project sermons. It was funny to me because the Wednesday previous to that, I was talking with the lamas about how we walk, how we're supposed to walk through this life, and what's the power, what's the key to that. And it was just funny because so many things were similar between what I talked with them about and what Johnny shared on that particular day. And basically, we, by meditating on that, God showed me areas where I wasn't doing it. Because walking with Christ means doing it the same way that you came to him. When we came to Christ, we said, we can't save ourselves. We never have been able to. We never will. And you say we need saving. And it's submitting to him. And then, of course, walking is in every scenario, every situation that's difficult, looking to what God wants. And that's really hard for me. I want to be self-sufficient. I want to trust in my wisdom to know what the solution is for my difficulty or someone else's difficulty. I want to achieve that solution by my power, by my resources. And I want to walk on my own. I want to trust my wisdom. Instead, God was showing me areas where I wasn't trusting him. I wasn't, and I had to confess and begin to retrain myself to, in some scenarios that recur, to say, God, what do you want out of this? Instead of what do I want? And how are you going to do it? And sometimes it meant doing something really hard. Other times it meant waiting. I don't like to wait either. And he gave grace and continues to give grace. And sometimes I ignored him and went ahead with what I wanted and suffered the consequences. And he still poured out grace. And it was really good. And I'm just very appreciative of the continuous focus we have on the gospel as the key to walking with Christ and having joy in life, even in the midst of hard things. So.
Week after week, I felt like I was like the sermon was not sticking with me. But the funny thing is, God was working on the same things as the sermon topics anyway. So it kind of didn't matter. Okay, so I'm going to combine several of them, of the desires you battle with inside you, the what truth to turn to, and the pointing to other, helping one another. Those three ought to go, been going together. And one of the things that is the most fresh is going, the things that are battling for my attention that are thoughts that are not what is written, like with Jesus, when Jesus fought the devil, when he tempted him, he kept saying, it is written, even though he could have just said, get out of here, because he was Jesus, but he still used, it is written, and then finally said, okay, time to go. But I say that because it's easy to let, for me to let all the thoughts that come to my head have their way, rather than being authority over your thoughts, because that's our place now. So this all ties together like strings like this. When I, there's a particular lecture sermon that I listen to over and over and over again called The Four Cornerstones of the Christian Faith, which is not one of the sermons that we had. but it doesn't matter. And there are four things in there. And what happened I'm going to tell you the four of them quickly and then tell you what I was doing with them. Okay, the first one is I am accepted, and we are accepted by God through the blood of Christ only. So right there in that sentence, it eliminates all the other possible ways. It's kind of, that's it. One sentence tells you the whole thing. I am accepted by God through the blood of Christ shed to death for my sins, and that's the only way. And so that was, for me, turning from all the thoughts that compete in my head, including desires for good things, trying to, you know, being tempted to fulfill them in the wrong way, and then turning to that and saying, no. And just, I was gripped by that phrase, sentence, and just stuck with it, and then it was felt empowered, because that was the turning from desires battling in my flesh and just thoughts that were like little children vying for my attention. I was like, no, I am the parent. No. Be quiet. Go to your room. You know, it's like, I'm in charge. But that's the first one. Second one is I am a new creature. And that's how I don't have to sin anymore. You're not a slave to sin anymore because we are free. So those two sticking in my mind, and I'm not alone. Holy Spirit is in me. And see how these things are lining up with the sermons that we had. If you know, it's like, it's the same thing. Oh, that means the Christian faith is universal and everybody, other people know this. Anyway, and the fourth one is I have authority. So those four things sticking out in my mind and then thinking like those all go together with what we're doing. And then, but turning from those things is turning from the desires and the thoughts wrestling from my attention to the truth that I am accepted by God through the blood of Christ alone and being gripped by that. And it works. And it's not just like, it's true. And so that was changing the way I was thinking, because I was really wrapped up in a cycle of the week of where just letting my thoughts have their way with me. I tended to let it happen, even though God's word is kind of swimming around in there too. Somehow other things have their way. So all that put together, and then this verse from Hebrews this has to do with the helping one another. There's a verse in Hebrews 12:15 says, see to it that none of you misses the grace of God. That's a command. That's not a if you have time or when you feel like it or when it seems quite convenient. It's like, this is a command, and we all need to remind each other of the truth. And then you almost don't, part of this is you don't really have to deal with every single thought that comes in your head. You just turn to the truth that you know is the foundation, and then that's like the master of, I mean, it's kind of like parents and children, but it's even bigger than that. It's like intruders coming into, one man has said, the court of your mind, God's temple court, and the intruders coming in, and his word is like the temple guard, and you have to, they expel the intruders. So we have those four huge things that if you fix your mind on, when I do that, I'm sorry, this is turning into a sermon, but it really is what I'm preaching to myself, is that when I did that, it was just liberating, and then realize, man, this is for everybody, not just for me. And then when you're tasting it, you want to make sure that no one misses the grace of God. So I'm sorry, pastors, that I don't know what, for some reason, that the sermons weren't all sticking, but God took care of that. So.
I'm glad I got to follow you, Clifton, because what God's given me fits into that. This verse was not shared during any of the sermons that I remember, but the Spirit was speaking to me by it. This one's in James. Beginning in verse 12, James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. I think the thing that struck me throughout many of the sermons, as God was speaking to my heart about how I needed to change, I kept wondering, why do I keep going back to the same stuff? Why do I keep going back to the same sin over and over and over again? And how does that happen? I know up here what God's word says and what I need to do. The Spirit's telling me. Why do I turn back? And it's like you said, it's a matter of turning. Turning my mind and my thought to what's true and to Christ himself, which is the answer, who is the answer, instead of being turning over here to my own desires and lusts. And that's where I get confused. That's where the confusion comes from. And I can automatically get into the habit of turning one way all the time. Bad habit. A bad habit of believing a lie. Isn't that what happened with Eve at the beginning? God told them, you shall not eat of this tree. Satan mixed in a little bit of lie. And then she starts reasoning in her own head, thinking, oh, it's desirable, good for food, desirable to make one wise. She leans on her own understanding, and what happens? She falls. And I've noticed that that's the same way with me, my change project. I've begun to change in some ways, but I've fallen many, many times yet. But thanks be to God, I just need to turn my attention to Christ himself, what he's done for me, and what his truth is. If I do that, I will be consistent. And by his grace, I'll change. Thank you.
Before I share what God's been doing in my life, I appreciate to make one comment about Dale and his scripture memory. It's reminding me that God gives us different abilities, but what really is life's transforming is meditating on God's word. And it's clear that Dale has been meditating on that passage. That passage has affected your life, Dale. And so I'm glad that you got up here and shared that, even though you didn't have it all memorized, because you're not like my wife. She used to be able to read one thing and remember it all. But you've been meditating on God's word, and God's word has had a huge effect on your life. So I'm just very encouraged by your example. The thing that I've been, that's been on my attention in my mind a lot during this series is anxiety that's come up a lot in my life, especially in relation to the missionary team that I've been working with in the Philippines, the team of Philippine church members that are preparing to go as missionaries to another unreached part of Asia. And the more we get involved, there's all kind of problems. I won't go into all the details. Even this last week, more problems keep coming up. Problems in the lives of the missionaries, physical, spiritual, relational, all those things. Problems in the country that we're trying to get into. Thailand is what the Lord has led us to. The more we talk there, the more issues of how to get visas. And I won't go into all the details. They just keep multiplying there. And then financial increases the pressure because more people, there's been more money donated to this project than any other aspect of what we've been doing in the Philippines. Because that means people have expectations, donating money and these big hopes. So all that multiplied there, I think you get the idea that the anxiety and the fears just keep coming up inside me and multiplying. And so a couple things that have been good, been helpful from this series. One is that the problem is not out there, but it's in here. The things happening out there just expose the real problem inside me. And I go, uh-huh. Because I think that I need to remove these problems. If these problems weren't there, I wouldn't have so much anxiety. But really, all those problems are exposing how much my thinking needs to change. Because my wrong thinking is what promotes the anxiety and fears inside me. And so that's good, going to the Lord. Okay, what's the lies? What are the wrong thinking? And there's a number of different ones. I'll just share one that has been, I've experienced the most dramatic change inside me. And that is Because really the other principle is replacing lies with truth. That was another part of one of the messages, that there's lies and then replacing that with God's truth. And so I was reading one of the books that John recommended to me, not with the Change Project, but another conversation we had, John Vanderhorst, by R.C. Sproul, on the holiness of God. And he had a chapter on what happened to Job. And we all know the story of Job and the huge problems that happened in his life. But at the end of the book, Job said, I had heard about you talking to God, but now I have seen you. And his life was transformed by seeing more of who God is. And not only Job's story, but there's other places too that God was reminding me that problems are for the purpose of seeing the greatness of God more. And so because of Job's example, I know my situation is not near as stressful as Job's situation. So I've told the Holy Spirit, every time you remind me that I'm being anxious about something, I'm going to thank you that you're using my problems like you used Job's problems for me to see your glory more. And so I've been thanking him for that, that, okay, thank you. When I say, oh, what's going to happen here? What are we going to do about this? Thank you, Lord, that you're going to show me more of your glory because of all these problems. I can't tell you what that's going to be, how it's going to happen, when or what. But that principle there, based on my confidence on the principle of God's word, for what he did with Job and did with a lot of other people, thank you that you're going to show me more of your glory. And that, okay, that's the purpose, okay. And it just brings a heart change in me. So I'm not trying to get rid of the anxiety, but I'm thanking God for his glory, and that's resulting in more change there. And so it's encouraging.
Hello. I like this verse that I'm going to read for two reasons. My dad shared it sometime in the past couple of weeks when we were talking about something, and I don't even remember now what we were talking about, but the verse itself stuck with me. And it's encouraged me greatly in my change project endeavors when I realize how often I fail at the good plans that I have made and so forth. And then I also like it because I ran a race this morning before church and it applies to that, and you'll see why. So this is Philippians 3, 12 through 14. It says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the call of the for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So I like that because when I see my own failures and my slowness to change, and God reveals things in my heart that I would have rather not have seen. That passage is encouraging to me because Paul says, forgetting what lies behind and pressing onward toward Christ. Like if we stop and wallow in despair about how sinful we are, that's not the point. The point is to repent and come back to Jesus again and again and trust him for his strength and ability to change us. That it's not we who can change ourselves, but it's him giving us the desire and the ability. So
I want to ask you for a show of hands, but when the elders encouraged us to write out our change project and send it into them, I actually did it. So But it was hard because when I started thinking about it, I thought, there's so many things in my life that need to change. How can I pick just one? And so as I thought about it and prayed about it, God just revealed in me that there's, isn't it written that so a man thinks in his heart and so he is. And I realized that I had gotten from a pure place of seeing myself as his servant. And that's where all the bad stuff was seeping in, because I was no longer in my heart and mind seeing myself as his servant. And so that's what I wanted to change, was to again realize that no matter what happens, no matter how hard life is or how great life is, because both can be distracting and take us off in the wrong direction, that I am his servant, and I am on this earth to do his will and not my own. And so that's how I want to change, to begin again to see myself in that way.
I enjoy those aha things we get from God, where just really the light seems to turn on. I mean, it's always on. Maybe sometimes we're not as sensitive, but there are times where it just seems like he really breaks through. And I think when John talked about running the race, and he just said a simple phrase, run with energy, passion, endurance, and focus, and total dependence on Christ. I think that was kind of one of those for me. I was really probably a long time, if not years, thinking the normal thing when things were heavy, burdensome, problems in my life, ways I'd fallen short, was just to kind of wallow, just kind of, I hope God does something. And instead of push, agonize for going after God. And I love especially the total dependence on Christ here, because what gets us up, is it not? Knowing the blood of Christ has paid for all our sins and we are loved by God. And along with that, I think just getting the revelation of Tozer, Mueller have emphasized, really seeing God, really knowing God's smile. That's something I really believe the eyes of our hearts can be opened to see. And those two, the blood of Christ, knowing his smile, just gets me up and gets me running again. Praise his name.
Amen. That is exactly right. Thank you all. And there's much more to say, because God is in the business of changing us for the rest of our lives, and we will have opportunities for additional testimonies. And I hope that you all take the opportunity to share with one another one-on-one what God's doing, or questions you have about what God might want to do. But it's wonderful. It's excellent. I'm going to share one more thing here real quick. Last night we had the second Saturday time with the international students. We had a bunch of international students, mostly from China. Of course, one part of that time is to break down into smaller groups and have a discussion around a Bible passage. And so we did that last night, and we had about, 8 or 10 people around John Dottie's dining room table in our group. And just encouraging to see Jesus in the passage from the gospel that we were looking at, heal a blind man, and to see his attitude toward this man, attitude that none of us would have toward this man. And I got to thinking last night after I came home from that time, how encouraging it is to be sharing the gospel truths with other people. I think in my own life, maybe you can say the same thing, in my own life, oftentimes I have drier times in my life spiritually when I have not been sharing the gospel with people in some way, one way or another. And it occurred to me that I need to think some more about this, but it's not so much that I am doing so well in Christ. What is so encouraging to me and why the gospel is such a ministry to each one of us when we share it with other people is because then we see that Jesus has paid the price for my sin and he is indeed changing me. And I can come to him over and over and over, as someone said, sure, as Amelia said, over and over and over again. That's what he wants me to be doing my whole life. Come to him over and over. He's the one who satisfies. He's the one who has redeemed. And it's as I realize that truth, that Christ is my everything, just as we were singing earlier, that I get the most joy, the thrill, hope in my life, even more than when I'm necessarily performing well, quote unquote, whatever that looks like. So praise be to God for his glorious gospel and what he is teaching us in that gospel right now, every day, and every opportunity that we have. Let's pray. Father, we see the glory of your word. We see the excellence of your truth. And we say in our hearts, yes, oh God, I want to see that in my own life. I thank you, Jesus, that you have indeed done the work that's made that possible for that to happen, and that you are about just that in our lives, showing us your glory, showing us your mercy, showing us your love, showing us that your grace is greater than all our sin, and that on the cross you have indeed paid for all our sin, past, present, future, and not one thing has been left out. We thank you for these things that you've taught us these last 10 weeks. We thank you that you want to continue teaching us and even teach us more in the 10 weeks to come and the 10 weeks beyond that and for the rest of our time here on the earth. And we say we're just humble before you. We want you to have your way in us, that you would increase and we would decrease. People would see you more and see us less. We would see you more and see ourselves less. Glory to you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.